You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Nick Loy. His new book is The Western Front, the first of three volumes of the history of the Great War, 1914 to 1918. The British themselves are a mystery because they put a toe in at the beginning of the conflict. And then what follows is a series of decisions that are both political and military about how to fight and what the aims are. It's striking how it's similar to the putting a toe in 1939 as well. Nick, we need to start with Asquith because he was the prime minister at the time. And Asquith's minister of war was Kitchener. And Kitchener's commander of what will become the British Expeditionary Force that goes to help the French after their attack is John French. Those three men don't strike me as comfortable in the room together. Is that correct, Nick?
That is correct. They are quite individuals of very different temperaments, and they are thrown together. You know, Asquith is, when the war breaks out, you know, nobody understands or has any idea of how terrible it's going to be. So, Asquith is, at the time of the war breaks out, he's obsessed with a sort of female confidant, Venetia Stanley, that he's, you know, he's very interested in. So he's writing letters to Venetia in the war cabinet. So his focus is somewhere else in many ways. Kitchener is a professional soldier, you know, one of the great heroes of the empire, Kitchener of Khartoum. And, you know, he is very wary of the British getting involved. I think they've got to do something to keep the French going, but how much they're going to do and the sort of strictly limited deployment of the British is always a major political, military, strategic issue, because obviously the British, ideally the British want a small expeditionary force that they can afford, because the British don't have a big army, that will do enough to encourage the French, but without really, you know, exposing the British to massive engagements that we see with the French and the Germans. But of course, for the French, they have to get as many Brits over there as they can, because their appetite can never be sated. And so this is a constant pull. And Kitchener, who has a global view, the British Empire, there's conflict in the Middle East with Turkey, there's colonial issues, the naval war, is trying to maintain a sort of limited liability to the Western Front. Whereas for the French, they're consistently pestering the British for more and more manpower, more and more troops. What are the British doing? They need to do this. They need to do that. And ultimately, the man who has to manage that on a day-to-day basis is the commander-in-chief of the British Expeditionary Force, Field Marshal Sir John French. Now, French is, I think, in many ways seen as a rather sad character. You know, he comes out of the Boer War in 1902 as a national hero, one of the great British cavalry commanders. He helps to win that war. But he's out of his depth, as many are, in 1914. And he struggles with the scale and intensity of the war. Now, just remember, the British start, they send to France four divisions and a cavalry division. They have two divisions back home, which they're not sent initially, but they have four divisions. So it's two corps, so it's a small army. At this point, you know, the French have upwards of 80 divisions. The Germans have about over 100. So, you know, you're talking about the British of small fry. And within 18 months, the British have gone to 60 divisions. So the British have gone through a massive expansion. And, you know, French is trying to manage this process. And ultimately, he breaks down at the end of 1915. He's seen so many of his friends killed. He's terrified of the losses. And he is under constant pressure to win decisively on, or at least win small local victories. And he's also under pressure from the French that think he is not doing enough. So French's position is a very difficult one. And ultimately, you know, he's just not able to continue. So at the end of 1915, he's sent home.
I want to look ahead a few years, 1916, when Asquith steps aside, replaced by the minister in charge of munitions, Lloyd George, the little Welshman, as he's described. The little Welshman is a fighter. Kitchener's gone by that time, and French is gone, and there's a whole new general staff. Is Lloyd George credited with winning the war today, 100 years later, Nick? How is he seen militarily, not just politically?
I think certainly in Britain, he's seen as the prime minister that wins the war. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, he still has a reputation as a man of great energy and determination, a man who has sort of an energy that is really infectious. And so, you know, he inherits a position in sort of the back end of 1916 where the Allies are at a pretty low ebb.
Right.
They fought two terrible battles in 1916 and they haven't really got a lot.
The losses are overwhelming.
Absolutely. So, you know, Asquith is essentially finished by this point. And so Lloyd George comes in and he has to, it's not the same as Winston Churchill in 1940, but there are parallels there really. And, you know, he is the man that ultimately, you know, he's involved in the setting up of the Ministry of Munitions. And, you know, he tries to really revitalize British industry to re-equip the army. But, of course, he has quite poor relations, first of all, with the chief of the Imperial General Staff, Sir William Robertson. And then, of course, with Field Marshal Sir Douglas Haig, Commander-in-Chief of the British Expeditionary Force, who replaces Sir John French. And they do not get on at all. There's a fundamental different strategic outlook. And this sets the scene for some quite significant disagreements in that second half of the war. And that, you know, they just don't see eye to eye. So I think the story, as you go through, is one of almost constant arguments.
And doubts and backstabbing. We'll come to Sir Douglas Haig when we go next to the battlefield that Nick has identified in big pieces, dividing the war into three large themes, 1914 to 1915, 1915 to 1917, 1917 to the end. The book is The Western Front. Nick Lloyd is the author.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.